Station. Are you ready, Alabama? You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, all right, this week, but I'm not.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Glad that you are with us. A little truncated tonight. We will take you to 5 Bell Central Time because of NCAA coverage beginning as the Sweet 16 gets going again tonight. And the first one right out of the box is going to be the Oregon-Michigan game. West Virginia-Gonzaga tonight. Also Purdue and Kansas. Then Xavier-Arizona. All of that action tonight and all of that you'll hear right here on the Ump. Joining us now to talk about those games and whatever else we end up talking about, to be quite honest with you, because that's the way it rolls, it's Steve Merrill from Pro Sports Info. Steve, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Tom. Doing well.
You know, a lot of times we talk about look-ahead lines. I'll get to the basketball here in a minute. But a lot of times we talk about look-ahead lines during the fall on games, and I think it's kind of interesting to see some of the look-ahead lines involving SEC teams that have already come out for the big opening weekend games, including Alabama as a 5.5-point favorite against Florida State, a neutral site game, but, you know, it's Atlanta, which is like Tuscaloosa East. But still, Florida State, you know, is going to be a top-5 team for sure. Alabama, you know, got some always has some turnover there as well. They got players to replace. But what do you think about that early line with Alabama as a 5.5-point favorite? I thought it might even be a little closer than that.
Yeah, and another spot I'm looking at right now has Alabama -6 in that game. So we might even see a higher number. Some other good matchups as well. Landover, Maryland, we've got Virginia Tech, a 2.5-point favorite over West Virginia. And then in Charlotte, North Carolina, NC State, a 7-point favorite over South Carolina. So some interesting matchups that are out there right now for bettable lines. But, yeah, the Alabama game is interesting because, you know, how does Bama respond after blowing the national title? Does that bring even more focus, or is that maybe we're starting to see some of these ACC teams catch up like Clemson?
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting, too. And you can get on these things. I know some places, obviously, you can get on them early. The other one is Florida getting 3 against Michigan. And it's interesting. Phil Still in his preseason top 10 where he predicts the AP, and he's been right in the past on that thing, but where he predicts it, he doesn't have Michigan as a top 10 team. Do you think Michigan will be a preseason top 10 team?
I'm looking at Michigan 6.5 right now over Florida at one book. So,
wow.
And these lines can vary. You know, they definitely can vary by a couple points. And basically, when people bet these now, the reason they're betting them now is because they're trying to catch middles in September. You know, they're trying to take a 3 and or take a 6.5 and lay a 3 with the other side. Or if they think a line's going to be a couple points lower in September, they'll play it now. You look at LSU as a 14-point favorite over BYU. That game's in Houston, Texas. The problem with playing these now, of course, is that you tie your money up for the next, you know, what is it, 6 months, 5.5 months.
Right.
And unless you really think a line's going to be off by several points, I'm not sure it's worth taking, you know, your bankroll out of play for 5.5 months to lock up a game now.
That's a good point. Now, you might want to take your bankroll and put it on some of these games that we have seen so far. Now, we know how the bracket went, and we know that there's a lot of blue bloods in this deal, minus Duke, you know, going forward. Having said that, how was it from a game-by-game line standpoint? Now, I know you break down the numbers pretty good. How did the favorites do and so on in terms of line value in this deal in the first two rounds?
Yeah, I think the favorites, they're about, you know, 75% straight up, 80%, and then they, I think they had a slight edge against the spread as well. But what jumped out to me about the first two rounds was the over-unders. The overs came in pretty steady, over 60%, and the odds makers even started bumping the totals in the round of 32 higher, and those games still went over. And we've talked about this before, Tom. You know, one thing you get in these tournament games is, yes, you get more defensive focus in postseason, like, you know, playoff-type games, but the problem with basketball is you also get more fouls. And when a team is down, you know, within range still, you know, under 10 points, maybe with a few minutes to go, they just start fouling left and right, and they definitely foul more than they would in a regular season game when they have to play in a couple days and it just doesn't mean as much. So that can really hurt you with the unders, and we've seen a lot of overs so far. And all four games tonight, the over-under line has moved a couple points higher at least from the opening number earlier in the week.
It's interesting because the one that's gone down lower has been the UCLA-Kentucky line, where it's 169.5 on the open, and it's down to about 165, 166, depending on where you're looking. And that game was a 190-point game, you know, when they got together in Lexington back in December. You know, how much weight do people put in that? It looks like a scary high number, but it feels like that this could be a, you know, 180-point game again.
Yeah, that's the only line of the eight games tonight and tomorrow night. That's the only number that's come down from the opener. The other seven have gone at least a half a point or more higher from the opener. So, yeah, you're right. That's also the highest total by far. It's the highest total by almost, you know, about 13 points compared to any other game. So that's the only one that's come down. I think a lot of it just has to do with it was such a high number, almost 170 when it opened, and that just scares some of the public off. You know, the public's funny. They like to play overs. But when they start getting those real high numbers and they all of a sudden start looking at the under a little bit, so that could have something to do with it there, just less public action. Kentucky's tricky for me. I actually liked the over in the Wichita State-Kentucky game last weekend, and unfortunately that's one of the few games that didn't go over the total, so you just never know. The Wildcats are capable of playing really good defense when they want to. They have a lot of talent on that team, even though they're young.
Yeah. Is a game like that, you know, that was played back in December, is there any value you get out of that, especially in the two teams that have – such young stars, is there much you glean from that, or do you have to kind of almost put that away and look at the way you think these teams have been playing the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think you definitely have to be careful with non-conference games, and basically this time of year these are all non-conference rematches, which means most of them happened, you know, in November, December, unless we get a couple conference teams playing, which rarely happens before, you know, maybe this weekend. You don't get a lot to go on, because in college basketball in particular, these teams are so young in November and December. Then on top of that, Kentucky's the youngest of all of them every year. So I think the fact that this game was played early December on the 3rd, just like it was last year, they played December 3rd back-to-back seasons. UCLA won outright as a 6.5-point dog back in 15, and then, of course, UCLA won outright as a 10.5-point road dog this year in 2016. So UCLA's had their number both years, but then again, the veteran team has been UCLA in those matchups. Kentucky's a totally different squad, you know, 3 months later.
Yeah, I like UCLA just because they're just so different with the 90 points a game that they score, and I think that creates a problem. How close do you look at conferences? I mean, we saw when South Carolina beat Duke, Mike Krzyzewski said that was the most physical basketball team that he's seen all season long, and I actually kind of like them against Baylor. Even though Baylor's a 3.5-point favorite there, Baylor turns the ball over a lot. I feel like Baylor's a little bit soft. I know they were the number one team in the country for a while, but I think that they can do something because of their physical nature. Do you look at that, and then the other side would be North Carolina. North Carolina, the ACC. The ACC lost 8 of its 9 teams, and really North Carolina should have lost too. And, you know, do you look at that and say, well, you know, maybe that league wasn't all that. Do you look at the leagues much when breaking these games down?
I definitely do, but you, of course, have to be very careful because we have such a small sample size. It's like anything. When you have a small sample, you have to be careful not to overreact and draw conclusions that maybe aren't valid. The Big Ten, I think, is a really good example right now. We all thought coming in to the tournament this year that the Big Ten was down tremendously from years past, and now all of a sudden they've got, you know, 3 of the remaining 16 teams in the tournament, and all 3 have looked solid. I mean, I think Wisconsin is a very dangerous team, and then, of course, you've got Purdue, which has maybe the best player in the conference this year and one of the best players in the nation with their big man. And then you've also, you know, had Northwestern make the tournament for the first time. So the question becomes, and the Michigan, as we all know, is on the real run. You know, ever since that plane crash, they won the Big Ten tournament. They're actually a slight favorite now against Oregon. So the question becomes, were all those Big Ten teams just beating up on each other and making the conference look mediocre? It's hard to know. I do think in football and basketball, you often get different styles. You know, back in the day, the Big Ten was kind of a grinding, running conference. They always struggled in bowl games when they faced this speedier, more athletic Pac-12, Pac-10 back then. SEC obviously dominated college football for a while. So I do think the ACC has not been impressive so far. Duke losing, Florida State really bad showing against Xavier. So that does concern you a bit, especially since North Carolina was the favorite and is still the favorite to win the whole thing. And also the fact that North Carolina will likely play either, well, will definitely have to play either UCLA or Kentucky if they advance.
Yeah, no question about that. And Steve Merrill with us at ProSportsInfo.com. Florida-Wisconsin is an intriguing game. I was fading Florida like crazy. They came in, you know, they split their last six games. They didn't look good in the tournament, in the SEC tournament, and so on. And all they did was go out and go scorched earth in the first and second round and just destroyed that Virginia team. But then there's Wisconsin, and they're a scrappy team. Florida just a short two-point favorite there. How do you break down Florida-Wisconsin?
I like the Gators. In fact, when I put my bracket out last week, I had Florida in the Final Four. I really thought the East region was the most open region. Villanova was a very vulnerable one seed. I thought Wisconsin could get them. That's exactly what happened. You look at Duke as a two seed. Wasn't expecting them to get bumped by South Carolina, but I thought they would have a tough road. The one I did not like was Baylor as a three seed. I thought Baylor was the weakest three seed. So I took a flyer with Florida in this bracket, and it's actually setting up well now because Florida is the odds-on favorite now to win the East region as the four seed. And they're about a two-point favorite here to beat Wisconsin. I think the winner of this game probably wins this region because I'm still not big on Baylor. South Carolina's not going to advance much farther. They were very fortunate to catch Duke on basically a home court last week in South Carolina. So I really think this Wisconsin-Florida game could decide a Final Four team. Right now I'd lean Florida, but Wisconsin, a tough matchup for anybody in the tournament, and it would not surprise me to see them continue to play well.
Can Butler upset the Blue Blood path in the South at all, or are they just an afterthought on this deal?
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for North Carolina. This isn't the same Butler team that made the finals in back-to-back seasons with Brad Stevens that played slow-down half-court. Butler's more of an offensive team now, and they're definitely not as talented at doing that as North Carolina. So I think one of those previous Butler additions could have been a real bad matchup for North Carolina, kind of like Wisconsin would be a bad matchup for them. But they're actually – UNC, it's setting up pretty well still for Carolina, who is the only number one I had coming out of my regions, actually, because I think it's a good matchup against Butler. And then, of course, they have to either beat Kentucky or UCLA, but the advantage here is they only have to beat one of them. UCLA and Kentucky has to beat each other and then North Carolina, so it's a much bigger uphill battle for those two teams, even though I really think Carolina, UCLA, and Kentucky could be three of the five best teams in the entire tournament. They're all in the same region.
All right. Before I let you go, give me some NASCAR leans for this week in California. You know, we've seen the last couple of weeks the best car not win the race because of late cautions and some strategies and things like that. What do you think happens out in Fontana?
Yeah, the leader with seven laps to go has yet to win any of the four races this year. So
that's
they've been
something.
Fantastic races to watch, that's for sure. It's like an NBA game, you know, just fast forward to the last 15 minutes and you see everything
right.
You need. Although, with the new stage format, that's definitely making them more competitive in the middle parts of the race. So I do like that new format. The stage winner, I think, has only won one of the races. That's when Truex swept the other week.
Right.
California is a cookie-cutter two-mile track. It's an intermediate speedway, which is half the tracks on the circuit, so it's the usual suspects that we always talk about on these tracks. Truex Jr. was the best overall last year. Harvick is always dangerous. Jimmy Johnson, although Johnson's not running quite as well, and Harvick also hasn't been quite as strong. Keep in mind they switched over to Ford this year. He did not dominate Phoenix last week, which he was probably the most dominant driver on any track of the last six, 7 years at Phoenix. The fact that he was mediocre there worries me a little bit of a Harvick. We might want to keep an eye on him and maybe fade him for the near future.
I'm wondering, you know, how long Dale Jr. is going to run around, you know, 15th, 18th, 20th, 23rd. I mean, you got two cars in his stable that are in the top 10. Jimmy Johnson will be fine. You know, you can't question a seven-time champion. But Jr., you know, running way behind where Chase Elliott and even Casey Kane have been running so far. And you just got to wonder – it's good equipment. We know it's good equipment. He qualified well. You just wonder about whether or not, you know, he's just lost that love and feeling. It takes that incredible amount of nerve to do what they do, and you wonder if his thoughts are elsewhere right now.
And you saw it last year at Tony Stewart. Ever since that accident, Tony Stewart was never the same, and he was as dominant as anybody for years. Mm-hmm. Good point about Chase Elliott, by the way, and I want to mention Kyle Larson. He's had, what, three straight second-place finishes
for
three
something?
This year out of four races. He's yet to win, yet he's the points leader. Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott are the next two superstars in this sport, and I would expect them to be very strong again this week on an intermediate speedway like California.
And you listen to Larson, he's still like pissed that he hasn't won. You know, so many guys are like, oh, you know, great to run in the top five and stuff. He gets out of the car.
He's capable of winning. Yeah, that's exactly. You're exactly right about that. When you see a guy that's upset with a top three or a top five, then you know that's a car that's capable of winning a lot of races during the season.
I love that. I mean, he gets out of the car and he's like, man, you know, he's certainly not happy running in the top five. That's for sure. But that's good stuff. All right, man. Appreciate you as always. Steve Merrill has been our guest. Steve, how did he get a hold of you to take advantage of you taking him to the finish line here now in the tournament? And of course, all your picks in, on NASCAR and baseball's coming right around the corner.
Yeah, mention the radio show and get a free best bet tonight in the NCAA tournament. One of my official best bets for free. Mention the show and email me, steve@prosportsinfo.com for the free play. steve@prosportsinfo.com.
All right, there you go, Steve Merrill. All right, Steve, appreciate you.
Thanks, Tom.
Guy's always solid. Very analytical in everything that he does. You know, everything he gives you, the breakdowns that he gives you and so on, he's very, very analytical in that whole deal. All right, coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Stephen Gribben, and he'll join us. We'll talk a little bit of golf with him as they've got the match play underway. The WGC Match Play Championship is underway, and it's different. It's not like it has been – what, did they do groups last year maybe? I'm not sure when they went to the groups. It might have been last year when they went to the groups. It used to be just straight-up match play. And if you got whacked in the first, you know, in your first match, you were out of the thing. Now they're in groups. All right, they're in 16 groups of four, and then the group winner of each group will move on to the next round. Dustin Johnson's already won two matches. He won again today, so he'll be moving on to the next round out of that group. Rory McIlroy won today after losing yesterday, so he has an opportunity. He'll have an opportunity to move on. Jason Day pulled out of the event when they found out that his mother was having the cancer surgery on Friday, but they're in groups, and you know that'll determine the bracket that we'll have, so to speak, over the weekend, and then it'll be bracket madness there too. I mean, they'll set up in a bracket of 16. They'll play twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday to determine the match play champion. So we'll talk to him about that. But Gribbs, he is also a guy that worked for the Dodgers for 16 years, so I want to get his thoughts on the WBC, and he's a UCLA Bruin. Not that he's a fan of, he went to UCLA. That's his team. So, you know, he's going to want to talk. He flies, he's a season ticket holder and everything else, and lives in Texas and flies out there all the time to see them play. So we'll get his thoughts. He may be in Memphis for all I know. We'll get his thoughts about that as well. It's coming up next right here on the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039, The Ump.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The Ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
We debated greatest football coaches ever today on the show, and I think there's some obvious ones that will always be on any list. Don Shula out of the NFL, who has the only undefeated season in NFL history. Chuck Knoll, four Super Bowls. Bill Walsh, Bill Belichick. Of course, Vince Lombardi, who the trophy that's given out after the Super Bowl to the winner is named after. But where do college coaches rank? Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, Bear Bryant, Tom Osborne. And what about Jimmy Johnson and Pete Carroll? All deserve to be in the discussion. But in my opinion, no matter how you spin it and how you discuss it, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer are among the greatest football coaches to ever live. They don't need to go prove themselves in the NFL to prove what they've done is worthy of being mentioned as an all-time great. Not only Saban at Alabama, but also at LSU, and Urban Meyer at Utah and Bowling Green. Those two, in my opinion, are two of the greatest football coaches ever.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free 2-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, may vary by model. No charge for promotional 2-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Cart is back and on sale April 3rd. This year's Tennessee Valley Golf Cart features a round of golf, including cart at seven area courses, including Cherokee Ridge, Cypress Lakes, Quail Creek, and Point Mallard. Play any day of the week. No restrictions, no blackouts. A $288 value for just $129. And enjoy golf at Blackberry Trail, Eagle's Nest, and Redstone Links. This April 3rd, log on to umpsports.com.
The County for a Cure Relay for Life team announces their second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament to benefit the American Cancer Society. The event, sponsored by TriGreen Equipment, is Saturday, April 22nd, with courts opening at 10 a.m. Competition begins at noon. The event will be held at the Limestone County Sheriff's Rodeo Arena on Highway 99 in Athens. The registration fee is $40 per team now through April 20th, and day of the event registration is $50. Registration is now open and forms are available at the Limestone County Commission office and County for a Cure Facebook page. That's the second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament to benefit the American Cancer Society, Saturday, April 22nd at the Limestone County Sheriff's Rodeo Arena. Registration's open now and forms are available at the Limestone County Commission office and County for a Cure Facebook page. Get your team together and we'll see you Saturday, April 22nd for the second annual Cornhole for a Cure tournament.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? First, I had to decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more, so I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy and giving up impossible. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through to kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers five times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon, the high 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly fair with the low at 52. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 70. Saturday, mild and breezy with thunderstorms arriving by afternoon. Those storms could be strong to severe. The high Saturday at 73. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Throwback Thursday in the doghouse. Honoring Chuck Berry. Yeah, I know Chuck Barrett's died too. Bad week for Chuck. Come on, man. Chuck Berry, though? I haven't listened to any of this stuff in so long. Let me tell you something, though. It's one of the best guitarists ever. I mean, I'm talking right there with the Stevie Ray Vaughans and the Eric Claptons, and he's right there, George Benson's. I'm telling you right there, Chuck Berry may be the best. He's right there with Hendrix, all of the rest of them. Anybody you think's a great, Dickie Betts, anybody you think's a great guitar player, put Chuck Berry on that list. Make sure he's on that list. All right, joining us now, a guy that's what a week this guy is. He's a UCLA Bruin. He worked for the Dodgers for 16 years. So he made a watch a minute of the WBC. And he's got the WGC match play challenge going on in Austin, Texas, not too far from where he lives. He's Stephen Gribben. Gribbs, welcome in. How are you?
Yeah, and he also had complete knee surgery. So it's been a hellacious couple of weeks, let me tell you honestly.
Well, it's a good time for me to play you in golf. We need to finally get together. I might could get you now.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you, I couldn't have asked for a better time, maybe other than the World Series, where I was forced to stay in bed for a while, so I can. There's nothing better than March Madness, and this year, as much as any. You know, it's interesting. You bring up basketball and golf. The parallels are pretty interesting now, Tommy. In that, in golf, we have no Tiger Woods or mm-hmm. Jack Nicklaus. I don't think there's anybody actually hunting for that position. I don't think anybody has the mental desire to be that anymore. At least we haven't found him yet. And then in basketball, you've got you've got a NCAA champion. Literally, you know, I don't think there's maybe but two out of the 16 teams that aren't capable of winning this thing. So it's pretty interesting. Other than women's basketball, it's unfortunately my women now have to play Connecticut. So yeah. That's going to be a tough day tomorrow. But you know, it's interesting the parallels between the NCAA championships and golf right now.
Yeah, but the flip side is that, I mean, with the blue bloods that we've got playing right now, I mean, my goodness gracious almighty, this is like having Palmer and Snead and Nicholas and Woods and, I mean, Hogan. I mean, you got some of the biggest names still alive in that bracket in Memphis. If you didn't have knee surgery, I told the listeners before we went to break that you'd be in Memphis probably, because you got UCLA playing Kentucky, North Carolina playing Butler. I mean, you know, that's as good as it gets for college basketball. And in Memphis,
I mean,
it's going to be fantastic.
It is amazing. And, you know, imagine where you think college basketball would be today if the NBA would break down and change their rule and make it like the NFL rule. How much better the basketball would be. Can you even imagine that? You know, imagine coming to UCLA next year and getting to get the Ball brothers to play together.
Right.
You know, it would be – this is the one part about men's basketball that's been so tough on major fans. You can't be a major fan anymore because you can't idolize the player because the player's leaving after a year.
Well, you don't even know who they don't even know their way across campus yet, and they're already gone. I mean, they go to the first semester, they don't even have to go to school in the second semester, and then they're out the door. I mean, they don't even know how to spell Kentucky. You know, by the time they leave Kentucky, those guys. And I like the baseball rule is what I would like, as opposed to the NFL rule, because the NFL rule is unique in terms of the physicality of the game.
Right.
But to me, I think it should be like baseball. This is what I think they ought to do. They ought to tell the kid, look, all right, you got two choices. You get drafted out of high school. You want to go to the NBA and end up in the D League or whatever? Fine. If you're that one rare cat, if you're Kobe or Moses Malone or Kevin Garnett, fine. But if you go to college, you're making a three-year commitment. That's what they do in baseball.
Right.
You can get drafted right out of high school, or you make a three-year commitment. You go back in the draft after 3 years. Then let's see how many guys want to do it. The one-and-done is terrible. It's the worst of all worlds. It's terrible.
Again, this is not one that you can blame on the NCAA as much as you and I love to blame everything on the NCAA. Mm. This is one you got to blame on the NBA. And until the NBA Players Association is going to stand up and the league stand up, it's just going to be this way. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. But it would just be so much more fun to watch college basketball and be able to grow with the players like we did for so many years.
Yeah, it would be great. Now, you worked out at Chavez Ravine for, I think, 16 years. So you're a bit of a seam head like I am. Did you watch any of it? I was very anti-WBC, but I'm also very nationalistic. So if we win, and you know, I give it a little more attention. But what do you think of this whole WBC during spring training thing? What's your mindset on it?
It's pretty much the same way I don't like the World Cup in ice hockey in the season. Mm-hmm. It takes away from it. I don't think it's something. We have the Olympics for the Olympics, and you know, if there's a team in Japan that's good enough to play in the major leagues, then let's make it a worldwide league, and that's fine with me. We'll deal with the travel somehow, or you know, set up four divisions. You got a Europe division, an Asian division. I don't know how you do it, but I don't like this, and I find I've only read one study so far which showed that there were a number of players, not a drastic number, but a number of players who played and then ended up not getting through that same season. I just think when you're playing 162 games to begin with, not even counting the playoffs in the World Series, and then you're asking them to play on this level for their country, because like you and like me, you know, we can say it means nothing, but the moment you put a shirt on that's got your country's flag on it, you know, it means something to you, right or wrong.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, too, I mean, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the Yankees lost Mark Teixeira. Well, he had hurt his wrist, and it bothered him the whole season. He had a terrible year. And now they lost Didi Gregorius, their starting shortstop, threw his arm out, and he's going to be out for the first month of the season. That could be devastating for a team that's, you know, maybe close. And that's the thing that bothers me the most, is that if my guy is playing in this thing, I'm okay if it's somebody else's guy, but I don't want my guys playing it. Plus, you know how spring training is, man. That's where you bond. That's where the team comes together. And I hate the thought that two or three guys are gone from the team. And, you know, when Japan won it in 06 and 09, they had all major leaguers on their team. They only had one now. They, you know, this year Japan only had one major leaguer. So even the Japanese major leaguers are saying, the heck with it. Tanaka didn't pitch for Japan. He was pitching for the Yankees that day.
And that's, listen, that's the, if you want to do the World Baseball Championships, fine. Do it as an amateur event. And it just, you know, it's the same way. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about the you know, NBA players at the Olympics.
I don't need that. I needed it once. I needed it once to prove a point. Since then, I don't care. So what if we lose with our college players? So what? We know it. We know we got the best players. You know, they're in the pros. Well, you know, just, let the kids go.
But I agree with you. And I think if you had a chance to ever sit down with Mark, as I have, because he's one of my closest friends, he would tell you that it was a big mistake.
Yeah. Stephen Gribben with us from our PGA Tour Insider. All right, you know, Commissioner of Baseball Rob Manfred made an analogy to golf last night. He said, I like to use the analogy of the Ryder Cup. It took time for the Ryder Cup to become what the Ryder Cup is today. It's going to take time for this tournament. I think that's a terrible analogy. The Ryder Cup is a wholly different animal in a very individualistic sport that happens after the season for all intents and purposes. And the only reason the Ryder Cup became as intense as it is now is because we were losing it. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be that way. It was like the America's Cup, and we just won it all the time. I think that's what brought the Ryder Cup to prominence. Well, I don't think you can make the same analogy.
Let me show you how I know that this is stupid, okay? And, again, you know, I've made my living for a lot of years, first in professional baseball and now in the golf industry. But I've never been one to not stand up for what I believe in, right or wrong. And it gets me in trouble sometimes, but that's the way it is. They took this event, and they realized that they had to do something to make sure the top players got past the first round. So they redesigned this event in such a way to make it better for TV. Not to make it a better event, but to make it a better television event. That doesn't mean it's good for golf. It just means it's better for television. Listen, I love match play. You love match play. I think match play has to be done once or twice a year, but again, it's the wrong time of the year. We're all just starting to get excited about what's going to happen in 14 more days. And this event, like I said, only proves to me one thing, that there's one guy who stands out at this point, but I don't even think he thinks that he wants to be the best player in the world. And that's Dustin.
Don't you think, though, they had to go to the group scenario to have a more fair final 16? Yeah, we had too many.
Because, I mean, the event that they had to.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we had lost Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth and those guys right off the top because they lost their first match, that would have been awful. At least you probably are going to get a better bracket of 16. And then with two rounds on Saturday and two rounds on Sunday, you know, you're looking at the chances of seeing some better weekend golf in this thing.
Absolutely. But then you're also seeing, again, what's right, what's wrong, what's left, what's right. You know, they're going to play 36, they're going to play 72 holes in 2 days, or could play a max of 72 holes. Right. I don't think many matches will get that far on this golf course. It's just, you know, whether you like Pete Dye or not, the course definitely sets up to get things through in a hurry. It means that a lot of these guys have to then just go back and clear their head before they get ready for Augusta. And so it makes it kind of calm for the next week.
Yeah. Speaking of Augusta, I don't know if you saw Tiger Woods on Good Morning America a couple of days ago. You know, he's saying all the right things. There's no chance that he's playing at Augusta, right? I mean, he couldn't even go to a press conference a month ago, 3 weeks
ago. I would be surprised. I don't think Tiger wants to go there and miss another cut. And that's my sense. And so I would be very surprised if he tries to play. Now, he's practicing hard. I know that for a fact, but I just don't think, I think the body's done, and I hate to say it, but I just think it is.
Hey, he's done too. Now, so when you say he's practicing hard, so you've got intel that he is taking full swing. I mean, he can do everything in terms of being able to practice. Now he can swing full and all of that. Cause like I say, 3 weeks ago, he didn't go to a press conference because he was bedridden, you know?
No, he can swing the club now, but I don't know if he's swinging at 100. He's swinging, you know, at 80% or 90%. I know he's taking full swings.
Right, right. He looked heavy to me, didn't he? I mean, I don't know if he looked big to you, but he had a 3-piece suit on. You got to have the right body to wear that, rock that 3-piece suit. But he looked like, and maybe, you know, part of that, obviously, with the inactivity, if he had the back injury, but he looked like he was a little chunky monkey there. He's getting like the old man. He's kind of filling out and getting a little round. No, I'm saying, don't you think? I think he's got a chance again.
Well, no, I mean, listen, he's 40 something years old now.
I know.
Your body's 40. Not going to be the same as it was when it's 25, no matter what everybody says.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I've been saying this before, too. I started saying this about 3 or 4 years ago. Dude, I just dropped the Bic on it, man, and just clean that dome right off because he's about 3 years away from having the horseshoe going, and that's going to be a really
right.
bad look. Just go ahead, shave all that off, Tiger. You're a brother. You got a good looking head. You got the goatee going. You look tough, man. I mean, he looks like an old man.
I don't know why he's never gone completely bald.
Yeah.
You're exactly right about that one. I don't know why that's happened. So, I mean, have you watched much of this? Do you like this golf course, Tommy?
I have had it on in the studio while I'm doing the shows. I'll watch it more. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get to watch it over the weekend. Sunday is when I'll probably end up watching more of it. But I don't know the course at all. Tell me about the course.
Well, it's a Pete Dye golf course.
I like Pete Dye. Yeah, I know. You and I are on the other side of it.
Golf courses.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like Pete Dye.
It's not a straightforward run of the. It's not a straightforward golf course, and you know, it's just I don't. It makes for great match play, but I don't particularly like the golf course. I think, you know, it tricks it up too much. But that's just me and Pete Dye. Pete and I have disagreements about this for years.
What about, is there any concern that playing something like this so close to the Masters would kind of jerk around with guys' heads a little bit with the way they approach the game, or do you think it doesn't even matter to these guys? Play a match play in 2 weeks
later? Yeah. If this was a tournament.
It is a tournament. It's a WGC event. There's $1 million. $1.5 million are going to win.
If this was a stroke play tournament,
yeah,
none of these guys would be playing this week.
Because of the track?
Because people are getting ready for one golf tournament now. This is March the 23rd. People are getting ready for one thing and one thing only. And you don't play this kind of golf course. It's why so many guys liked, Mickelson especially, likes going to Houston before Augusta, like that, because the golf course, they designed it to at least putt, if nothing else, like Augusta. And it was pretty wide open. Guys, if this was not a WGC event, if this was not a match play event, I don't think many guys would be there this week.
I worry about Mickelson. If he gets through this group, which he may. He's leading. He's 4 up through 13. He's going to get through the group. But I worry about him playing, you know, 36 on Saturday and 36 on Sunday. I mean, he's a 43-year-old guy with arthritis. You know what I mean? I don't know about him
right.
doing it. Yeah. Do you like him? Does he have a chance to thrill us on Sunday at the Masters? 44 he'll be.
You know, he's pretty calm right now. This is the kind of Mickelson I always like to watch, is when he's kind of calm and just kind of just going along, doing his job. And, you know, I don't know what kind of strength he's in, but I can tell you he's enjoying his life right now.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we're getting into a Dustin Johnson run that's going to be.
Oh, I think we are. I don't think there's any question. And I said it at the start of our interview. There is one player right now who has separated the pack. But now having said that, I'm not sure he personally, consciously or subconsciously wants to be there. But he is there right now.
I don't know what else they can do to that.
He was 3 years ago.
You know, everybody talked about what they did to Augusta when they quote-unquote tiger-proofed it. I don't know what else they could do to the course. I mean, if this guy is that and then something else in terms of length, I mean, he's nothing but drivers and wedges all over that course. And unless they're going to continue narrowing fairways or doing something, I don't even know how Augusta handles a Dustin Johnson, you know, with his ridiculous length.
Well, there's only one way, and it's like what you're seeing even today with these greens as hard as rocks, you know, running at 14. Last week, I think some of the greens were running at 18. You know, this is a thing where for Dustin, it's all about the 5 foot and in putt. If he doesn't miss more than two of them during the week, he'll win a golf tournament. If he does putt poorly inside of 5 feet, as he is known to do, then he will not win the golf tournament. Mm.
All right, man. Appreciate you as always. How long is your rehab on the knee?
Well, it's 6 weeks total, but I mean, I'm a week and a half ahead of schedule, they said, because I'm already off the walker. I'm on a cane already, and it's been 2 weeks, so I'm pretty excited about what's going on.
Should have tweeted out pictures of you on the walker. That would be pretty funny.
That would have been good. I didn't do that, and I don't know why I didn't. That's
yeah, that would have been good to see. All right, man. Appreciate you as always.
Take care, T.
All right, there you go. Stephen Gribben. All right, we'll come back. Open lines the rest of the hour. You want to jump in? 866-485-9867. 866-485-9867. Text window is open as well. 7329-TA-SHOW. 732-982-7469. You want to jump in? Do it now. We'll be back with more right after this on 730-1039.
Yep. WUMP Sports Radio. The op.
Great.
This is Brandon Tierney with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by the new Disruptor Work Shoe from Timberland Pro. Visit your local retailer to get a pair. Hey, full disclosure, I absolutely love baseball. Grew up playing wiffle ball on the street from sunrise to sundown, played in high school, played in college. It's in my blood, and it's never going to go away, despite the NFL obscuring its national popularity. However, some more transparency. Despite my affinity for the sport, I didn't watch a single second of the WBC. Yeah, I caught some of the highlights, including Adam Jones' circus catch a couple of days ago, but not a single live pitch. Too busy with March Madness. So while I'm hardly an ardent supporter, I'm smart enough to know that the quality of play remains outstanding. So why the venom? Why do people feel the need to denounce the showcase? Hey, here's an idea. If you're into it, you'll watch. If not, keep moving. No need to bury its existence. Just a thought. By the way, nice job, United States. I'm BT.
The wrong boot will make your work suffer. Take Yeti. That's his forklift with the front wheels hanging just over the edge of the loading dock. And that is a big bead of sweat dripping down Yeti's face because he's pretty sure if he moves, this whole thing is going to go further south. Sure will be interesting when everybody gets back from lunch. When your feet hurt, your work suffers. So get the Timberland Pro Disruptor Work Shoe. Anti-fatigue technology and a 30-day comfort guarantee. Timberland Pro. Visit your local Timberland Pro retailer to get a pair.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, Napa's offering free mechanics wear gloves by mail with the purchase of 5 quarts of Valvoline motor oil starting at $3.59 a quart. Well, you've got hands and a car. Coincidence? We think not. Free mechanics wear gloves by mail with the purchase of 5 or more quarts of Valvoline starting at $3.59 a quart. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 3/31/17.
Unbeatable.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Cart is back and on sale April 3rd. This year's Tennessee Valley Golf Cart features a round of golf, including cart at 7 area courses, including Cherokee Ridge, Cypress Lakes, Quail Creek, and Point Mallard. Play any day of the week. No restrictions, no blackouts. A $288 value for just $129. And enjoy golf at Blackberry Trail, Eagle's Nest, and Redstone Links. This April 3rd, log on to umpsports.com.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motor home.
Spring is here, and Bankston has the best selection of 2017 RVs in the Tennessee Valley.
The only way to go.
New 2017s are arriving daily, like the Brookstone 395 RL fifth wheel. This hot new floor plan sleeps 9 with a second bedroom and overhead loft. The Brookstone also has a 6-point electric leveling system to make setup fast and easy. You'll feel right at home with theater seating, a fireplace, plus a residential size shower.
The only way to go.
Spring is here, and so are the new 2017 travel trailers, truck campers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes. Learn more about the gorgeous new Brookstone 395 RL fifth wheel online.
The only way to go is in a Bankston motorhome.
5 locations are online at BanksonMotorhomes.com.
March Madness is a time when the best of the best come out to play. Experience that same level of performance with the turbocharged Infiniti Q50 sedan. Visit Smith Infinity of Huntsville today and lease the Q50 for $339 a month for 39 months. $24.99 initial payment, tax, title, license, and options extra. Call 1-800-862-0406 for details. Offer ends 3/31/17. Infiniti is an official partner of NCAA Men's Basketball. NCAA and March Madness are registered trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Infiniti. Empower the drive.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night, I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Indeed.com delivers five times more hires than any other job site. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
A mixture of clouds and sunshine this afternoon, the high 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly fair with the low at 52. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the high 70. Saturday, mild and breezy with thunderstorms arriving by afternoon. Those storms could be strong to severe. The high Saturday at 73. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. As I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a coupe ville. A Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out of run my V8 Cadillac doing about 95, moves bumper to bumper, rolling side to side.
Welcome back
on
a Throwback Thursday in the Doghouse. Why can't you be true? I'm Chuck Berry today on Throwback Thursday. Why can't you honoring the music of Chuck Berry, who passed away over the weekend. Phone lines are open, 866-485-9867, 866-485-9867. You know, Josh Wolf is going to be, in fact, well, he'll be performing all weekend at Stand Up Live Comedy Club, and he will be in studio with Arky Shea and Cole Kublik tomorrow morning as well. And I got a pair of tickets. In fact, I got two pair of tickets, and I want to give away a pair this hour, and I want to give away a pair the next hour because Wolverine Dan can't use his this weekend. So I've got a pair of tickets for the Josh Wolf show, for the 9:30 show on Friday night, and the 9:30 show on Saturday night. So if you want the tickets and you got something decent to bring me, all right, you bring me a decent phone call, I'm going to do one pair for a good phone call, and I'm going to do one pair for a good text. Now, we're going to hold the text. It'll be the text or tweet of the day. We'll hold that to the end. But if you want those tickets right now, we got the lines open. So if you want to jump in right now, bring me a decent phone call, and I will hit you up with the tickets for the Josh Wolf show. 866-485-9867. $40 worth of tickets to the Josh Wolf show down there at Stand Up Live. And you'll enjoy that. You know who's been going to a lot of those shows is I know Grumpy's been going down there. I know several of you have been talking about going down there and catching some of the acts down there. And I think at some particular point in time, Arky Shea is going to be actually doing some stand-up down there. You know, Arky's a practicing comedian with the emphasis on practicing. And I think he's going to be doing something down there at some particular point in time as well. All right, 866-485-9867 will get you in. The NCAA has rejected the University of Louisville's claim that men's basketball coach Rick Pitino adequately monitored the program, concluding that Pitino did not seek routine feedback about activities in a dormitory where a one-time aide arranged for strippers and prostitutes to entertain players and recruits. What'd they do, like magic tricks and stuff? Card tricks? Juggling? T-Mac, what do you think they did, huh?
I like to think it was magic.
Magic, maybe?
Yeah, some kind of magic, some form.
Like pick a card from the middle of the deck, don't show it to me type thing?
All I know is if they're getting in trouble for like a magic show, I don't want to know what they were pulling out of the hat. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, right. This is a good point. You never know what they're liable to pull out of the hat. They had strippers and prostitutes. Louisville has disputed the NCAA allegation from last October that Pitino failed to show that he closely observed former director of basketball operations Andrew McGee, who is accused of arranging the parties. In January, the university argued that Pitino had exercised appropriate supervisory oversight of McGee. Well, how was he supervising McGee if McGee was setting up the strippers and the prostitutes to come and do magic tricks at the dormitory for the freshmen and the incoming recruits? I mean, how are you exercising appropriate supervisory oversight if you don't know what this guy's doing that and you don't know that? It's like the coach saying, hey, you know, you're responsible for what you put on film.
Yeah.
And then 100, yeah.
It wasn't like a one-time thing either. I read in that article that the players, they said it was understood between the teammates whenever a highly sought-after recruit was visiting, which means more than just one guy, they knew where the party was. They knew where to go and what was about to happen. So the fact that it happened that many times and he didn't know, there's no way he was supervising correctly.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA response sets the stage for a hearing in front of the governing body's committee on infractions that is likely to take place this summer. The enforcement staff, which authored a report released Thursday, essentially acts as investigator and prosecutor. Still unknown are the ultimate sanctions that will be levied against the university. In a statement, the university said it continues to regret the NCAA violations by, quote, a former U of L employee. Quote, his behavior was shameful and wrong. The behavior is the reason we self-impose severe penalties on ourselves. In this latest correspondence, the NCAA enforcement staff's response reiterates the previous position and, in fact, makes clear that the allegations does not state that Coach Pitino should have detected or known about the violations. We have faith in the NCAA process and look forward to demonstrating blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. Louisville has not disputed most of the allegations related to the incidents first exposed by Katina Powell, a former Louisville escort, who claimed in a book, Breaking Cardinal Rules, that McGee paid her to hold parties in Minardi Hall. At the parties, Powell alleges, she provided strippers who made deals to do magic tricks with Louisville basketball players and recruits from 2010 to 2014. That's 5 years. 5 years. The school has disputed the cost of the transactions in some cases. Oh, so they're arguing that they got paid too much for the magic trick? I don't know how. I said it then. I don't know how Pitino survives this one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. I really find it very, very hard for him to survive something like this. I mean, you got people on your staff paying for your, you know, new recruits, high school kids, you know, escorts, quote unquote escorts. There's no way. That's tough for anyone to survive.
What he needs to do is get advice from Bobby Petrino on how
riding
to
riding down the highway of girls on my bike. Man, I never felt so alive. Screaming pig suey at the top of our lungs. Man, I never had this much fun. But then she reached around and put her hand on my thigh. I was in heaven and I closed my eyes. Next thing I knew, I wound up in a ditch. Oh, man, I should have never messed with this. Girl in the athletic department in the volleyball shorts.
He could help Pitino. That's what he needs. He needs to talk to that guy. That's what you get. You bring in strangers to do magic tricks. You know, that's what you get. Right, coming up at the top of the hour, which would be the final hour. So the next hour is the fabulous final hour. Matt Scalise will join us. We'll talk some Alabama and Auburn with him. Talk some SEC basketball as well. Probably won't ask him about that story. Probably going to let that story go. I have got a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Josh Ward or Josh Wolf show. but the next caller that brings us a phone call and gives us some takes and wants the ticket. And we'll take care of that, as well as one for the best text of the day. Those, we have several to pick from. We'll be back. The Tom Abraham Show, right here at 730-1039 The Ump.
More sports.
I'm Kevin Kugler with an NCAA tournament schedule preview. Sweet 16 games tip off today from the Midwest region in Kansas City and the West region in San Jose. Both have great matchups, including number one Kansas taking on Purdue and the one seed in the West, Gonzaga, facing West Virginia. For all of the games and scores, and to make sure you don't miss any of the excitement, tune into Westwood One's exclusive coverage of the NCAA tournament right here.
AutoZone presents Time for a Tune-Up. Performance, fuel economy, engine life. They're all good things that come with giving your car a tune-up. And doing it yourself saves you money. Another one of those good things. Get $2.50 per plug, plus a $10 AutoZone gift card after mail-in rebate when you buy four or more Autolite Iridium XP spark plugs. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's warming up around Huntsville. That means it's time to get out and ride in a Polaris off-road vehicle. And the best time to buy is during the Polaris Spring Sales Event. You'll find great financing, plus rebates up to $2,000. You'll even get a free two-year extended warranty on any full-size Ranger or any Sportsman 450 or 570 ATV. See your Polaris dealer now.
Offer valid through April, may vary by model. No charge for promotional two-year extended warranty. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Ready for your dream boat? Bucks Island has it.
Call us at 1-800-I'M-READY.
Is your dream boat a G3 fishing boat powered by Yamaha? The fish are waiting for you. Is your dream boat a G3 pontoon? Cruise the rivers in G3 Elite pontoon powered by Yamaha. Or do you want a G3 Suncatcher fishing pontoon powered by Yamaha? Bucks Island has it.
Call us at 1-800-I'M-READY.
Take advantage now of the G3 rebates and Yamaha 5-year warranty.
Ends March 31st, 2017.
Southside, Alabama. Bucks Island.com.
Have a job to do but don't have the tools to do it? Then call Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville today. Valley Equipment Rental has everything you need to get the job done fast. Mowers, tillers, pressure washers, floor sanders, trenchers, and much, much more await you at Valley Equipment Rental. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just a do-it-yourselfer, Valley Equipment Rental is here for you. Call today, 256-964-6081. Get rolling with Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental.
Looking for a way to get involved in the community? Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Alabama has a new office in Athens and is looking for those interested in becoming a big, wanting to be a little, or simply desiring to assist the organization through donations or partnerships. Each year, Big Brothers Big Sisters works to pair children ages 5 to 13 with mentors in an effort to enrich their lives. In order to support these, your support is needed. To be a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters, stop by the new office in the Family Resources Center at 406 South Jefferson Street in Athens. Call 256-880-2123 or on the web at bbbsna.org. Becoming a big brother or big sister makes a tremendous impact on the lives of children throughout the Tennessee Valley. And with the addition of the new office in Athens, your impact reaches even further. It's never too late to start something and make a difference in someone's life.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school or even let alone go to college, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter Brooklyn was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, studied hard, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I feel like if I didn't have anyone to push me, I wouldn't even bother to do it. I got one milestone down the drain, and now I got to work on the next. I see the future is really bright for me. I feel like it doesn't matter the age, as long as you go back and get it done. The high school diploma is just added to the confidence, and now I feel unstoppable.
No one gets a diploma alone. You have more support than you realize. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Are you at risk for whooping cough? Pertussis, also known as whooping cough, is an extremely contagious respiratory illness that can cause a violent cough lasting up to 10 weeks. Pertussis is spread through the air when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes. Over 48,000 cases of pertussis have been diagnosed in the United States, the highest number of cases since 1955. And even though you may have gotten the DPT shot when you were a child, over time your immunity to...
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station.